What's up, y'all? It's Johnson. Sadly, the last episode of Crudo Finalmente, Poderosas FC Radio. We're here at Sidebar in Alhambra. We just lost 1-0 to OL Reign, but it was a cool joint watch party with Poderosas and Pandemonium. And I'm joined by a bunch of cool folks. It is a collab between Poderosas and Pandemonium. So I'm going to throw it to folks to introduce themselves. And
Erica, she, her.
Matthew, he, him.
Marco, him, el, fu.
Stephanie, she, her.
Taylor, she, her.
Mari Carmen's playing a bit shy today.
I'm very shy. Mari Carmen, she, her, Zaya.
So we make the playoffs for the first time in our history. It's only our second season. We make the playoffs in emphatic fashion, yet we kind of fizzle out a little bit, and we start the same team that played against Portland and absolutely steamrolled Portland, and yet we didn't necessarily get the same effect with this starting 11 against OL Reign up in Seattle on their goddamn turf. I still have no idea why any team, you know, in professional football has turf still. But regardless, what do y'all think just about the start, about the lineup? Was it wise of Tweed to start the same 11 that worked really well against Portland, against OL Reign, or should she have kind of like mixed things up? How did you see the start? We'll start over here.
I think you probably have to regulate emotions because Sunday was just a big game, and then you have to reset and then get ready for the playoffs. It was a really big high, and you know, the team just looked amped all the way up to it, and then it probably was just, they looked steady. They did look steady, and they just didn't have that extra bit to go forward, you know. They had opportunities. Sid had a big chance, and it was looking good for us. It really was. And you know, we didn't concede early, which was big. Because normally when you're coming off of a big high like Sunday, you'd concede early and then you're kind of stunned. But it looked like we were going to game plan. We just didn't have it in the end there.
Yeah, we had that deflected shot. I think it was coming from Gamberos. And then Sid almost got a toe to it. It was one of those plays where because it was deflected, it kind of broke down. That sometimes it works out in our favor because the defense, the goalie doesn't know really what to do with it. And Sid just couldn't quite get a foot on it. They you know, got a clean save, and it didn't really work out. First half was a little bit flat. Like, both teams kind of went back and forth. Not a whole lot of chances. There was some decent saves from Angelina Anderson in the first half. And then second half starts with basically the same lineup. I think it was 60-somethings minute. Alyssa Thompson comes on for Emsley. And then it wasn't until about the 80-something minute that Endo comes on, Le'Veon comes on, Spencer comes on, Keijo comes on in total garbage time, about 88, 89 minutes. Anyone feel like they have an assessment on how Tweed managed the game, how Tweed you know, handled the subs and the personnel, and really like responded to what OL Reign brought today?
I think OL Reign like did their homework, because they pressured every, I mean, the first half they covered every pass. Our passes were not as strong as they were before, at least with, because they had plays going on last game, but this game is like, they tactically, they were always on every pass. They knew the plays that we would do. And then by the time the second half came, like, they already figured it out. And I don't know if it was because our team got tired or there was just a low momentum. Like, the momentum just changed. And OL Reign has, like, the capacity to just take over, especially with passes that are not strong enough. They could just cut through them and just take away, and we would just lose all those opportunities. And I just feel like they were the better team in the end, but it was great seeing the team play right now, and I'm a little sad because I wanted to go to San Diego. But I mean, that's just the nature of the game, and I feel a lot better than we did last season. I'm looking forward to next season, like, a lot more now.
There's no denying that we're on the ascendancy. We're improving. This season's light years better than last season. The second half of this season's light years better than the first half of the season. But again, it's such a heartbreaker to go out in this fashion. I don't even know if you can call it like a defensive lapse with Latsko's goal for OL Reign. She just kind of wanted it more. She charged in from the 18 and got her head on it. It was deflected from Anderson and went in. And yeah, I mean, what you know, fairy tale status would it have been for 2 weeks from now or so, being able to play against our arch rivals, San Diego, in San Diego? Guarantee we would have whooped their ass. Had we been able to go down there, we would have packed that stadium. We would have definitely been way louder than you know, whatever little like shark surfer motif BS they come up with. Yeah, there's like some inflatable shark thing happening, and yeah, there's like some bubbles going on, like whatever. It's just weak down there. So pretty certain that OL Reign's gonna mop up down there with San Diego, but. Refocusing back to us, you know, it's only Friday. We're only 5 days removed from the absolute, you know, just embarrassment from the Founders from Sunday. If you've been living, under a very large rock, essentially for two entire seasons plus an entire preseason tournament, we've flown the Palestinian flag every single match, ride or die for the liberation of Palestine. Obviously, things very much escalate in Israel, in Gaza. There's you know, thousands of deaths on both sides of the border and all the rest in that sense. And so we're just going to do what we always do and fly that Palestinian flag and really stand up for oppressed people and stand against settler colonialism. And you've probably heard, or maybe not, because there's kind of a lot of, you know, media repression or, you know, very much a lot of both sides to this. And so the front office decreed that we couldn't fly anything that didn't directly support either team on Sunday. We went ahead and did what we always do and smuggled in some Palestinian flags. We don't normally have to smuggle them, but we did this time. And there were just way heavy-handed with all the black shirts, probably double, triple the security and all the rest. And so we're here in Alhambra at a bar, at an outside watch party, and of course we're flying the Palestinian flag. Anyone have some thoughts on, you know, 4 or 5 days later, removed, on how you're feeling with this whole situation? There hasn't really been much of a sponsor, you know, at all from front office or you know, any further movement, any further communication. And so anyone want to kind of address how you're feeling or where you're seeing the whole situation, maybe next steps, what you want to see come of this or anything like that?
I mean, I think my greatest fear right now is that the front office is just going to wait us out. They're just going to wait for the whole controversy to blow over. You know, that now that we're out of the playoffs, they have a whole offseason just to do nothing but keep their mouths shut for once in their fucking lives. Yeah, I mean, University's been pretty bad at handling controversy. And for once in their lives, they're going to take the tried true PR advice of just shut up. And when we least want them to, I think they're going to just wait us out unless we really try to force their hand. I mean, as someone who walked out of the stadium, it was just, like, super disappointing, you know. We've been flying this flag for so long, not just at Angel City, but at other clubs that play in that stadium. You know, and the individual who got specifically removed as well, been flying it for so long. He's been a day one fan. He brings it to away game. It's some nonsense. And just because, like, what, 2-3 Founders feel a certain type of way, and seeing front office members that, like, I've known for 5-6 years, you know, even before Angel City existed, you know, be part of the removal process and telling you to get out, you know, it sucks. I think right now as fans, we need to regroup. We need to figure out what our plan of attack is and really get at the front office about this, because if we don't do anything about it, they're just going to wait us out, and then next season come around, they'll have enough news to ignore us and keep it shut down. And that's, you know, so we'll have to figure that out now the offseason's going on, because we really have our opportunities are pretty few and far between right now to actually get our voices heard.
The timing is very much not in our favor. Even if we went deep in the playoffs, even if we won the entire thing, we never would have played another home game. And so definitely time is on the front office's side, and they can wait for things to blow over. Who knows what the offseason is going to look like? You know, one big signing, one marquee player, and then everyone forgets about it. All the non-supporter groups, you know, kind of casuals and all that, they'll forget any you know, ruffled feathers, any, you know, potentially, you know, grievances, because now, cool, like, we'll focus on the new season. And so we got to really figure out how we can maintain that pressure, really push Julie Ehrman to understand where she absolutely fucked up in so many ways, and really make sure that this club and this front office and all the rest of it understands, like, this is a community team and it needs to be led by the community. And as soon as you start taking the community for granted, you're really going to have hell to pay. And so it's quite a bit. I feel like you have some thoughts.
I do. You know, when it comes down to it, the front office, and I'll just go ahead and name names, like Karen and Julie are in the stadium. They see it. They saw what we were doing. They sent the danger to us. We were fine as we were. We take care of each other. We take care of the community. Julie likes to boast about, oh, this community we built. No, we built it. The people. We the people, us, the supporters groups, we came together and we said, this is how we want things done. They came in and decided, we're going to oppress you guys. We're going to censor you. And that is complete violation of everything that they were supposed to be about. They keep saying, oh, we're more than a soccer team, we're more than a brand, we're all of these things. And it's like, when it boils down to it, when rubber meets the road, you're exactly the same as everybody else. You make the exact same decisions. You know, you didn't consult us when you made the statement. You hijacked the club, you know, the platform to say what you were saying, and then you tried to shut us up when we pushed back. We're just going to get louder. And Julie's not going to like it. So it's us. We are the community. You keep saying we, including yourself in it, but you follow our lead. You follow our lead. You don't lead us. We're the community. You're the front office. You're the founders. Don't confuse that.
Yeah, I think just like thinking of everything that happened, there's a lot of firsts, right? First time we made it to playoffs, and also first time I ever felt unsafe in La Fortaleza. And when we've been flying the Palestinian flag, we've never felt unsafe by the people that were around us and the supporters until Sunday, when they brought in extra security and different people that were policing us and making children feel unsafe, to the point where now I don't even feel comfortable going back into La Fortaleza. And it's true, the community really built that space. We bring that energy in every weekend. We chant loud to really create that experience for people in the stadium. And honestly, the founders overall, like, they really fucked up. They don't speak for the people, and they don't speak for the community that we've really built in La Fortaleza.
To add to that, so they claim that NWSL said it was a league mandate, and clearly today it was not. Seattle threw their banners out like a regular game, like nothing happened. And I felt like we were deprived of that. And being in it from LA, from the probably the biggest supporter group that any team in the whole league has, how is it that we got muted? Like, it's just, it baffles me. But at the end of the day, like, it's something, it was meant to be, in a sense where the more they push back, the more, like, they're burying themselves. Because this thing is not going to go away, whether they wanted to or not. And we're always going to remember that. And we have a lot of footage. We have a lot of evidence to push our case, and they could shut us up. But, like, as we can tell, Moon's exit when he got kicked out, it's at 2 million now, right? And it's only going to be blowing up. Most people didn't even know ACFC exists. Now they know that exists because of that incident. So take it for what it is, you know? But, like, it's blew up in their face. Yeah. Like how it blew up in Israel's face.
There's so much more brand recognition, but for the absolute wrong reasons. And, you know, just citing Julie as, you know, a businesswoman entrepreneur, like, that's not how you fucking run a business. Like, holy crap. Like, maybe not catch the, like, most negative PR possible and, like, alienate the people who built your organization to be the you know, as reported, the most valuable women's sports team in the entire, you know, globe, in the history of women's sports, probably, in that sense. And so it's just absolutely absurd how bad they're shooting themselves in the foot.
And it also goes to show, like, we don't, like, how far they went to censor us, like the LA Times article. Like, you know, having spoken to that reporter and then, like, hearing, like, what they said they were going to put, they said, like, oh, only first name, age, and know what neighborhood. And then I look at the article, my full name is in there, my full legal name's in there, my age and all that. And I'm like, what? This is when we agreed on that. I got coworkers messaging me on our Slack, like, hey, I saw you in the LA Times, who weren't even at the game. And I'm like, okay, so I'm having to lock down all my stuff now. And it's like, how, and then now they're interdicting into the article, they're adding in these quotes, they got a really big Zionist to come in and give a lot of quotes. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what are they trying to accomplish here? This club has talked so much big game about their values, about being progressive, about being a different kind of football club. Where is that action? We've given them 2 years now, you know, there's no academy, there's no, you know, any kind of like equitable charitable action is always accompanied by some kind of a sponsorship that goes along with it. Where is the just independent action of doing good for our own community? Where is the actual, you know, it's, we, they've talked so much game, but what we're doing, what, missing playoffs and pushing crypto, pushing NFTs, and like a couple sponsorship opportunities? Like, what are we honestly doing at this football club? Like, and without the supporters, what are they going to be? Just another mildly attended NWSL team. I mean, I don't know what to say, you know?
The amazing folks at the Shea Butter FC podcast broke it down of like, maybe NWSL is growing a little bit too quickly, and then they're getting too ahead of themselves on the revenue end, on just the growth for growth's sake. I think the quote was like, you know, growth for growth's sake is the mentality of a cancer cell kind of thing. And so you have to be so intentional of growth for the right reasons and making sure you're always supporting your community. And of all the sports in the world, football is an absolute community asset. It's bigger than a team. It doesn't matter who owns it. It doesn't matter who signs the paychecks. It's the actual supporters who run that club, without a doubt, every single team. And so hopefully this is a bit of a wake-up call for not only Julie Ehrman and the other founders and the other minor investors, like, you know, Ohanian and all the rest of it, but, you know, the entire league, the entire NWSL needs to, like, realize, you know, wait, maybe we do this thing a little bit differently and be a little bit more intentional with Bay Area coming in, with Utah coming in. And I'm sure that's not going to be the end of it, because people have finally realized there's so much growth within women's soccer. And it's just, you know, like, it's going to be that untapped market, and it's only going to get better. Like, I can't even wait until there's a second LA team, till there's a second, you know, San Diego team, a second New York team, whatever else. Like, I think we can even, you know, sustain that in that sense. And so, you know, trying to see how that goes down. But, yeah, just a wild bit of events. This is the end of our second season. Anyone have maybe a most memorable moment from this particular season, or something you hope to see happen in the off season? You know, could be a signing, could be anything else happening, could be the way the next season starts. Anyone have some thoughts in that regard?
I went to one of the supporters game, or one of the games, and I sat in the supporter section. Had the time of my life. I got a blister because I was cowbelling away. And I had PTSD today watching the game, but it was really fun, and I'm excited for next season.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Hopefully you and so many other people are back in the supporter section, back in La Fortaleza, and making it, you know, just that much more of a home field advantage for next season. In my mind, when I see, like, Washington play at our stadium, when I see Portland play at our stadium, I'm like, Trinity has to see how much we support our players, right? Sophia Smith has to see how much we support our players, right? Like, how can they not want to come play for this atmosphere, especially when we see, and Portland does well, obviously, but Washington and some of the other smaller markets, you'll see that full stadium shot on the camera, and it's so sad sometimes how under-supported they are, anything like that. And so I guess the question could be for anybody, do you think players factor in, you know, home field support and that overall crowd, that overall supporter section in maybe their next move? So Trinity Rodman specifically only has 2 more years on her contract at Washington, and then she's an unrestricted free agent. I can see Angel City opening up the pocketbooks and signing her. What an amazing signing that would be.
Of course that would be. I think 100% the supporters do bring on this joy for the players. Like, it gives them that sense of, like, I'm doing something right. Like, I'm doing it for them. And I feel like the Fortaleza has done that for Angel City in the past 2 years. The Fortaleza has even grown even bigger than it was when it first started. So I agree with that.
Yeah, I struggle to see how that wouldn't be the case. You know, if I play rec league and whatever, you know, old man league kind of thing. But if there's going to be a huge support for me, hell yeah, I want to play for that team. And so hopefully they feel the same way.
Yeah, and you know, I've thought about this question quite a bit, just kind of over the last few seasons, and I think some people are gonna run from the bright spotlights. You know, they get to, you know, see their 3,000-4,000 people and just kind of wave, and it's like, hey, if I make a mistake, nobody's gonna see me. But with us, we are 22,000 deep. You know, we see it, we love to support, but you know, there's gonna be pressure involved, and you know, not everybody's built for that. I mean, Trinity's built for that shit. But not everybody is, and that's okay. LA is not going to be for everybody. There's going to be expectations put upon you if you're putting on the Angel City jersey, and that's how it should be. They should be holding us to a standard to cheer the hell out of them for 90 plus, all right? We should be 120 minutes fit, at least, if that's how far we're going. But, you know, some players want the smoke. Some people can't handle it, and that's okay. That's okay. Let's be honest. That's okay. But I know that the ones who want to be here, they're going to come. They see that, okay, they've got improvements. They've built up. They fixed the issues, some of the issues that have plagued us for a while. And it's like, hey, you know what? I think I can thrive in that system. I want those lights. I want that support. They see our TIFOs. They see how wholeheartedly we are behind this team, you know, and if they want it, they'll come and get it.
I feel like truer words have never been spoken.
I mean, Erica covered a lot of it right there. I think there's one missing piece to the puzzle right now for Angel City in terms of being like that just utterly elite spot to attract players, not just from the NWSL, but from overseas, from wherever they may be in the world, just attracting in all that talent. A, the ability to open up the pocketbook within NWSL's salary limits, and B, it's that training facility. Right now we're playing in, like, portable classrooms, effectively, out in, was it Pepperdine? Or warm-up area?
Thousand Oaks. I think it's at Cal Lutheran, you know what I mean? So we're playing at, like, a medium to small Christian private university's facilities. We don't even have, like, pro-level facilities, and so
Yeah, and like no disrespect to that area that we're training at. I mean,
because the Rams practice there too.
Like full respect to them for letting us come in and set up our trailers and whatnot, and like, you know, get a little place that we can at least call home for now. But when our warm up area is a big tent with like a lot with really heavy, like, you know, set downs and that kind of thing, it's kind of like if you're a player coming in from, like, let's say like over in France, right, the actual Olympique Lyon, where they have their own training facilities, top-of-the-line medical, all that, world-class facilities across the board. And sure, we have, like, really good medical facilities that we probably use that are in, like, you know, some office park somewhere, like, some, like, random, you know, strip mall that they go into and it's got amazing facilities. Sure, but, like, when you're a professional football player, but you want it all to be kind of in your one location, at least in, like, one or two. You don't want to be that far out. You know, our stadium is beautiful, it's amazing, but there's still a few more pieces to the puzzle in terms of our player development. You know, like, Giselle Thompson's been training with the first team, but is she going to be able to sign next year? You know, do we have the facilities in place to facilitate that kind of a move? Do we have anything to lock down to, like, a pre-contract amateur thing with, like, a second team or a U23 or an academy team? Do we have, you know, the facilities to, like, bring her? You know, there's a lot of questions that, like, we're still not at a point where we can truly attract that elite talent to a level that we want, but I think we're at a point now where, like, our fans have brought us to the point where it's like, listen, either you want to play here or you don't, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, just incredible potential, incredible room for growth, and that's where Julie and the other founders, their heads should be of, like, all right, this has been dope, but you know, for 75% of the time, we've been really bad at on the field. Like, we've been killing it in the stands. If supporter sections had a league table, we won that shit back to back, but they don't. And on the field, we were kind of mediocre up until Freya left and Tweed took over. And so, yeah, they really need to be building so we can continue this momentum and get that figured out. So, yeah. Just amazing recap. There's so much more to be analyzed, to be scrutinized, to be antagonized, all the rest. And so I appreciate all of you. We will end it here. It's been a Crudo Poderosa's pandemonium collaboration. Founders, you've been put on warning. We are coming for y'all. You better get it together. Volamos!